Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And we are the SNL Nerds. And we're here, we're going to talk about the episode from December 15th, 2018, Season 44, Episode 9, Matt Damon hosting, Mark Ronson and Miley Cyrus musical guesting.
A lot of M's.
A lot of M's.
Matt, Miley, Mark. Musical.
Yes. I honestly have no idea. I was not familiar with Mark Ronson before this show. Are he and Miley Cyrus like a couple?
No. He's actually a producer. He's mostly well known for working behind the scenes. Like, he worked with... he's mostly well known for... he worked with Bruno Mars recently on that Uptown Funk song.
All right. Uptown like that Funk. Song?
Yeah, yeah. He's that type of dude.
But it's a good song. That's my jam.
Yeah, yeah. But if you look at his work, he's actually worked with a lot of kind of other people and made like a ton of hits.
Okay.
But he's mostly like kind of a behind the scenes guy, but he's kind of more and more becoming in front of the camera. Kind of like very, I guess you could say, Puff Daddy-esque.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking, like, because she seemed very chummy with him. I was thinking, like, oh, wait, are they a couple? But no, she's married to the Hemsworth brother, right?
I believe so.
Isn't she, like, Liam?
Liam, one of those Hemsworths. There are many
one of the non-Chrises.
Yes. Yeah. They're like the Waynes. There's, like, tons of them.
There are. There's just a big Australian brood.
That's right. They take up half... They make up for half of the Australian population.
Okay. All right. Well, now I know a little more about Mark Ronson. So we had... let's get into it.
Let's do it.
We had the cold open.
Cold.
Which, as soon as I saw that little Liberty Films logo, I was like, oh, they're doing the It's a Wonderful Life parody.
Yeah, I know. For a minute, I thought, like, oh, they're going to re-air that old SNL It's a Wonderful Life parody?
That's a classic sketch.
We'll talk about that on the Christmas episode, but I remember...
Will we?
We will.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't remember it being on the Christmas episode.
But. It wasn't. That's why I wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
Aha. Uh-huh.
All right.
See, all right. Well, I've spoiled.
Little teaser for next week.
That's right, guys. Well.
But then this It's a Wonderful Life parody, they did It's a Wonderful Trump. Oh, that hurt to say.
Because there's nothing wonderful.
Yes. And we had Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And he's
trumping
he's
it
having, up. He's having a tough time of it of late.
Yeah. But before that, they show the exterior of all the...
Oh, yeah. Everyone praying for Trump.
Please pray for him and also
make
sure I don't get arrested.
He's not a good person, but I'm still praying for him.
Yes, absolutely.
And yeah. So, yeah. If you've been following the news at all, you know that it's... Things are not going badly, are going badly for our president, Mr. Trump.
Not so good in Trumpy land.
And you know, who knows what's going to happen there?
It's anybody's guess.
And he's questioning if he ever should have been president at all. And then along comes Kenan Thompson as the Angel Clarence,
right?
To show him what the world would be like if Trump was never president.
Yeah, and surprise, surprise, everybody's better off for it.
Yep. Yep, he says, like, what are those strange things on their faces? And he says, those are called smiles. we find that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is very successful in PR for Facebook and like the romaine lettuce industry.
Not to the romaine lettuce scare of 2018.
Where
were you when you heard about the romaine lettuce scare?
I was trying to order a sandwich at Boston Market, and it's bad news. They were straight up like not serving sandwiches for a while.
Really? Do they all have romaine lettuce in them?
I guess that's their go-to lettuce, and I think there was also a thing happening with tomatoes, and it was a whole thing.
That's your first mistake, people. Don't eat any vegetables. Just all fried foods.
You take anything away from... Yes. From this podcast. You should have that Donald Trump diet and just all KFC, all Big Macs.
Yes,
and
just all brown foods.
Because you're,
brown and fried.
Because you're just afraid of getting poison from the pre-made stuff.
Exactly. So just basically have your dinners from like 7-Eleven or something like that.
Right.
That's the SNL Nerds.
And apparently you can survive on that diet because, God damn it, those arteries are taking forever to clog.
Right? He just keeps getting stronger every time I see him. Forever.
It's really infuriating.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Who else do we have in the
show? Oh, yeah. This is a smorgasbord of celebrity cameos.
We had so many people come in.
So many.
There's Kate McKinnon who comes in as Kellyanne Conway, and she says, the devil gave me my soul back, and I have to go find my husband, who I speak to now, which I really liked. We had we had Eric and Donald Jr., and Eric is solving Rubik's Cubes.
Oh, yeah, Eric is smarter, and he's able to do other language. And then he says to his dad, as they say in Spanish, Feliz Nasty Dad.
Yes. I think they said something like, because he wasn't burdened with running the Trump businesses, that he was able to go to school and get smarter.
Right.
And, you know, it's always fun to see those two.
It always is.
I enjoy when they pop up now.
Yeah, I'm starting, Moffat and Mikey, they're warming up to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to get it now.
You like the Alex Moffat-Mikey Day
duo? Yeah, I'm starting to see it now. I get it. All
right. They're becoming slightly less anonymous white guys.
I'm starting to remember their names individually.
They are becoming blended together in a homogenous whole for me.
Yes.
Because they work together so much.
That's very true.
Yeah. Hey. They're kind of like that, like a two-headed creature.
A two-headed creature?
Yeah.
Like that monster from Sesame Street with the two heads?
Or the three-headed thing from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, wow. That's a deep cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I didn't
think about that. Anyway, let's see. Who else do we have? We had Matt Damon making a return as Brett Kavanaugh. You called it last week.
Swish. Nothing but net.
Yes. He says, me on the Supreme Court with my temperament. I went into Kermit there. I don't know what that was about.
Wow.
And he says, now when I say when I like beer, they find it charming and not like I'm threatening violence.
There's a good one.
We had Cecily Strong as Melania.
Yeah, and her English got better.
Because she's not around Trump all the time, so her accent is gone. We had Ben Stiller.
Stiller again.
As Mikey Cohen.
I know, he's just making appearances. He's appeared a lot during this season.
Yeah, I know. And
I'm trying to think, did he appear more than some of the cast members on this? I feel like he might have.
Certainly more than Ego Nautum. Oof. He's gotten more screen time.
Yeah, it's Stiller, so it makes sense. But still, it's like, you know,
he's a known quantity. He gets the applause break when he comes out.
That's true.
And
he has to show up, and he's like, hey.
And Michael Cohen, he's become somewhat prominent in the news of late.
Yes, he has, hasn't he?
It was weird because the sketch was in black and white, and Stiller wears some makeup as to make himself look more like Michael Cohen. I had trouble recognizing him for a second. It was the fact that he was in black and white just threw me for a second.
It definitely throws you.
He says, every single thing I've done is because you directed me to do it. We're a team like OJ and Cato or Eric and Lyle Menendez. Which is...
But part of me thinks are these the people that watch it, the younger generation, do they know who the Menendez brothers are? I hope
that's going back. That's going back 20 years.
Yeah, I mean that's I know it because I was in high school when I came out, but I'm starting to think, wow, these young whippersnappers, they know who the Menendez brothers are, right? And I'm like, part of me is like, I don't know.
They actually reported on I think it was on Weekend Update a week or two ago that the Menendez brothers, they're in the background of some basketball trading card.
The what?
Because apparently after they murdered their parents, they were spending the parents' money and they got courtside seats to whatever team so they're visible in the background of somebody's trading card.
Jeez.
And this was just recently discovered.
Oh, so if you have that card, you
collector's item.
Well, that's right. You'll make a killing. Oh, I'm so sorry. That was terrible. I apologize immediately. After
wow.
That. I apologize immediately right here.
Moving on. Let's see. We had Mike Pence DJing the party.
Yes, of course. And
he has come to accept himself.
Right. They don't come out and say it,
but he's wearing a belly shirt and he's DJing. So you do the math. A
lot of gyrations.
Yes.
And we are. That's good for it. Good for him.
We mentioned Matt Damon as Brett Kavanaugh.
Right.
Yeah, De Niro coming up as Robert Mueller.
Right.
Oh, there was a nice line. I forgot. Trump says, if there's no Muslim ban, then who's keeping us safe? And they said, oh, no, this terrorist attack was foiled by a team of transgendered Navy SEALs. So
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's specific.
And and Trump comes away from this with the lesson that he should be president after all.
Yeah. I mean, that part kind of threw me because I thought they would do it more they would say something a little bit more clever as to why he should be president. But it was just no, he just misheard everything and think he should be perfect.
I think they were just doing a riff on how he doesn't really take in facts.
Yeah, and I guess so.
Yeah, it was. They just kind of needed to get to the ending quickly.
Yeah, all right, let's just wrap this up.
Yeah, but I like they had a line at the end that said, you know, every time a bell rings, someone you know has either quit or gone to jail. Which, accurate.
Yeah. Who quit? Didn't somebody just quit like yesterday?
Yes.
What's his face?
Yeah, what's his face? Quit.
Yeah, he quit. Yeah. And it's like, well.
I don't remember the name or the office he was in, but yes.
It's probably not important.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's out of here.
Somebody else. And you know, our ex-governor, Chris Christie, turned down the chief of staff job.
That's very telling, because it seems like Christie, like, kind of turned everything upside down just to be near Trump, and now, like.
And that worked out great for him.
Yeah, fantastic.
No repercussions whatsoever.
Nuh-uh. Nope. He's sitting pretty.
Yep. And sitting pretty on that beach chair.
And no one else around for miles. Just him and his family.
Nobody making a meme out of him.
Nope. No siree, Bob.
So.
Oof. All right. So, then we go into the monologue.
Monologue. Matt Damon.
Yeah. I thought the monologue was interesting because it was very heartfelt for the most part.
It was a touching story. Well, he said he's hosted before, like 16 years ago in 2002.
Right, it's the second time doing it.
It was Fred Armisen's first show, and he says, and tonight is Beck Bennett's last show.
Yeah.
And then they cut to Beck Bennett, who's like, say what now?
Like, oh, I guess I didn't tell you yet. But for a minute, I thought, wait, is Beck leaving the show, really?
I know.
I thought that was, like, serious, like it was breaking news, and yeah, it was like, yeah. Oh, no, they're just joshing.
Yeah. But. Matt Damon, he tells a touching story about how when he was a kid, his dad would say, you can stay up and watch Saturday Night Live with me, and he wasn't able to make it all the way to 1 a.m. until he was 8 years old.
Right.
And in the 16 years since he's hosted, he's, like, gotten married, and he has, like,
four kids,
and his kids were watching their dad host SNL.
Right, right.
And, yeah, it was very cute.
Yeah, like, and he mentioned how his father passed away and how.
Oh, yeah, like a year ago yesterday.
Yeah, and, like, he's talking about how his 8-year-old kid now is watching his. Mm-hmm. It was weird, like, because I'm just so used to, like, you know, kind of snark and sarcasm in monologues and jokes that when somebody says something very heartfelt and very sincere and sweet, it, like, kind of throws me back a bit. Like,
it's weird. We don't know how to process the sincere emotions.
Hulk not good with words.
Yeah. As I said before, we're dead inside.
Yes, we're soulless robots.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I thought it was very sweet, like a very earnest way to begin it. And he gave a toast, and I was like, oh, that's beautiful, man.
It was good.
That's nice.
Good. Liked it.
Give me all teary.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're allowed to get sentimental around the holidays.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know,
it's very sweet.
So, yeah, it was good. I liked it.
I dug it.
It was good.
First sketch,
we had the Westminster Daddy Show.
Yes.
Which is,
I guess, daddies. I've kind of heard the phrase daddy, but, like, this one, I guess, kind of.
That is a slang term.
Yes.
That the young people.
Yes. The
are using.
The youth of today.
Daddy is, I think, sort of basically referring to what we would call a silver fox.
Yes.
Like an older gentleman who can still get it.
Yeah. As they said, it's a George Clooney, but obtainable.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's like an older fellow who has some scratch, some money in the bank, and
yeah,
still can still get it.
Yes. That's a good say. I think I've seen some of my younger female Facebook friends talk about daddies.
Oh, so. Are they talking about maybe you, perhaps, in this
no.
context? Oh, okay.
This has not been directed at me. They were talking about other people. They were like.
I was just trying to be nice.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you acknowledging the possibility.
Hey, I'm just, it's possible, man. Hey, yeah, there could be some people in the comic book world looking for a comic book daddy or something. Yeah, or comedian daddies.
Within the realm of possibility, sure.
All right, there you go.
Why not?
See, keep hope alive.
So we have the older gentlemen. They're being pranced around like in the Westminster Dog Show,
right? Looking at their teeth or some. A.D. Bryan was looking at their veneers, checking them and whatnot.
Yes, and then we have the different types of daddies, which I did not write down. So
there was a Tweety Daddy.
A Tweety Daddy. He was very disobedient.
Yes, he was like in a tweed jacket, and I think his I believe his his things are, like, he bikes to work and he's terrible to waiters.
Yes.
As they said.
The other quote I wrote down was they have a knowing smile that says, I do sex good. So, yeah.
I do. If that's not on somebody's Tinder profile, I don't know what you're doing.
I do sex good. That should just be the headline. Yeah. Yes.
It's Joey. Joey, 26, in Florida. I do sex good.
I do sex good. Yeah, this was an all right sketch. We had Matt Damon and Kate McKinnon as the announcers, and right. then twist at the end, we had Matt Damon come in.
Yeah,
he was called in, and he ends up winning the whole thing.
Right, he was the broadcaster daddy.
Yes, yes,
and yeah, I thought it was a cute sketch. It was fun. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, my favorite line was at the end when they were signing off.
Kate McKinnon signed off.
Yeah, Kate McKinnon says, I don't have a name. Have a good night.
Thank you for joining us. I don't have a name.
Like, I don't know if she improvised that or that was part of the sketch, but, like, either way, it was funny.
I feel like that had to be scripted. I mean, it was just too good of a closing line.
That's true. Yeah. And it was funny. It's like, oh, yeah, her character didn't have a name.
Yes, yes. It was just, I like that. It was just a nice little commentary on her underwritten part.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Next, we had a film segment with Matt Damon and Cecily Strong as a couple.
Yes, best Christmas ever.
Best Christmas ever, and they're sort of reminiscing about the day, and
right.
and they're talking about how great the day was, and it just shows how
yeah.
you idealize your memories and you sort of rewrite them in your head.
Very much so.
They were like, "Oh, I had a smile on my face from the moment we got up," and then they cut to.
But,
them the kids screaming and getting up at like 5:41 in the morning,
right?
And they're just
and they're like miserable,
exhausted, and miserable, and everything.
Yeah.
And then
she talks, and Cecily Strong talks to Matt Damon, saying, "Oh, thanks for putting together that dollhouse. Was it tough for you?" And he was like, "Oh no, it's no trouble at all." And then they cut to when he was putting it together, and like the thing was falling apart. And he was frustrated. And he was cursing it out and like kicking it, like get and like
It was great to have all the relatives here, and
right.
then they cut to them arguing about politics over dinner.
Yeah, one of them had a Trump hat.
A MAGA hat.
And then it's like, why do I have to take it off? You're racist against white people. And he's like, what are you talking about? No, you're not my kids. Take that off.
And Cecily Strong is just talking, well, you know, I got through it. And then they just cut to, like, Cecily, like, downing.
Just copious amounts of red wine.
Yes. And then just smoking in the backyard. And that was a cute sketch. I
yeah.
liked it.
And at the end, again, it had a very sincere moment at the end where it says, you know, Christmas, even when it's the worst, it's the best. And, like, it was a very, like, sweet, syrupy, sweet, sincere moment. I was like,
yeah,
whoa.
And it did have something sincere to say. Because, even if you do have difficult times with your relatives, which
right.
I think most people do to some degree around the holiday season.
Yeah, we all have
and
that.
And you're forced to, like, interact. But, you know, when they're not around, you're going to miss that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
it was very sweet. I was like, this is a very sweet episode.
It is.
It's lovely.
A little holiday sentiment.
I know.
It's creeping in.
Yeah. And it was weird, actually. After this sketch, they had a commercial with Kyle Mooney, which kind of
I know,
me.
For the Google.
Right? That was weird. I thought it was another sketch. I was like, what?
It's so weird because SNL does so many fake commercials. You see a for real commercial.
The lines are getting blurred between
and
reality.
It was Kyle Mooney was like, oh, yeah, Google Pixel 3 had me film this video on the phone, I guess just to show how great the videos it records are.
Yeah.
And he has Edie Bryan in there briefly, too.
Yeah. I mean, he even comments, like, oh, I should have another SNL cast member, so it's not just me. And then Edie's just like, hey.
So, yeah, it was confusing. And he was like, oh, yeah. I could, follow through my day, and here I am going to the laundromat. And it's not unlike a typical Kyle Mooney film bit.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly could have been an SNL sketch.
It could have been. It could have been. And we saw what I guess was Kyle Mooney's real apartment.
Could have been, yeah.
Could have been. I was like, that's not that great of an apartment.
Yeah,
but
I guess the SNL money isn't as lucrative as one would think.
Well, or it's just tough to get a decent apartment in the city. I wonder how that compares with the other cast members' apartments.
Yeah,
I really want to see this now. I want
you
want
to see the SNL cribs?
Yes, I want SNL cribs. I want to see where all these people live.
Where like Kate McKinnon's like, oh, what's up, y'all? This is my hood.
McKinnon's got like a penthouse overlooking Central Park. And if she doesn't, she should.
Damn straight.
Because goddamn it, she deserves it.
She should be in a castle.
That's right.
That's right.
She should be in a castle with a moat and a drawbridge.
Yeah.
And yes.
A dragon?
Yes.
She should basically be living like a Game of Thrones character.
Yes.
Is what we want.
That is what we want for Kate McKinnon.
That's what she deserves.
God damn it, she deserves it. She is a comedy princess.
Yeah. Darn tootin'.
Yeah.
Hey! For Darn tootin'. Booyah. Bang. Booyah. Next sketch.
Next sketch. We
go off on tangents and we love it.
We do. That's what makes the show.
Yeah.
Next we had
Christmas ornaments.
Christmas ornaments with Kyle and Melissa Villaseñor is a couple. They're decorating the tree and they have an ornament that's not so great, and so they exile it to the back of the tree facing the wall.
Right.
And then it's a green screen thing with
all the
misfit ornaments. Yes, talking to each other.
Yeah. Like I mean, I guess, do people still do that? Because like I remember like when I used to, you know, decorate my Christmas tree, like the part of the tree that just faces the wall, you just don't decorate it. You just like, you know, you put, like, you know, if you're wrapping the tree around in something like tinsel and whatnot, you could do that. Mm-hmm. But like as far as all the ornaments, they want them to be seen. So like,
I think we've had some things facing towards the back. Nothing as misshapen as they had in this sketch, but yeah.
Okay. All right. So I guess it's a thing.
I mean, you know, some people like the tree fall all the way around.
Okay.
So this is an interesting insight here. There's different preferences.
This is how I'm learned. This is how I learned.
You have the bear tree.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, not completely bare.
Right.
I'm not a monster.
I think you are.
Okay. All right. But I mean, just like the part that faces the wall, just don't decorate that. Just decorate everything that does fit that faces outwards.
Call in, folks. Let us know your tree decorating preferences.
Phones are lighting up.
Yes.
Like a Christmas tree.
That's right.
Oh, Christmas tree.
So we had all the misfit ornaments. My favorite, of course, Matt Damon as a 4-year consideration promotional Goodwill hunting ornament. So we had
very specific.
Yes,
that had a Happy Holidays from the Weinstein Company.
I know. The Weinstein saying, "Yeah, that aged well."
Ooh.
We had Mikey Day's a Harry Potter ornament where it's Harry Potter on a broomstick, but the back of the broomstick is broken off.
Right.
So now it looks like Harry is doing something obscene.
Yes. We'll leave that to your imagination. What he's doing.
But he's holding a cylindrical object around the crotch area.
Yeah.
So
you draw from that what you will.
Yeah.
And Rudy Giuliani ornament.
Yes.
Apparently that was a thing.
Played by Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon.
Comedy princess Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Keenan was the, greetings from Cleveland.
Greeting.
Yes. From Cleveland.
Yes. And he's a half-assed thing that was picked up at the airport.
Yeah.
And then Cecily Strong as an angel with... where a light bulb burned off half her head.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Because they're doing a green screen effect to make it look like all these ornaments are hanging by the tree.
Right.
And so I guess Cecily had some sort of green screen cloth over her face, so it looks like half of her face is missing.
Yeah, that is.
And yeah, that's a disturbing effect.
A.D. Bryant was like an ornament that the kid made from kindergarten class.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so like a misshapen macaroni.
Yeah, macaroni turd or something like that.
Yes, yeah.
It's like, kill me.
You know, this was okay. I wasn't nuts about it. I liked the Goodwill hunting ornament the most. That was cute.
Agreed. Yeah, that was a fun thing. It's good to see him slip back into his Boston accent. That was a terrible Boston accent.
Matt Damon or Ben Affleck, they obviously have those Boston... Those stereotypical Boston accents ready to go. They're ready to break them out on a moment's notice.
I know. The Boston accents, it's a pretty tricky thing to do. So, like, if you can do it, you can bust it out whenever.
Yeah. When you grow up around it. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, like, around you all the time. It's just like, oh, yeah, wicked smart.
Yeah, wicked smart.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like every time if you do a Boston accent around somebody from Boston, they get, like, offended.
Well, it's kind of stereotypical.
Yeah, it's like doing a Jamaican accent around somebody who's Jamaican. They're like,
right.
Could you please not do that around me?
Well, also, I'm sure they get that a lot. So.
Yeah. Very true. So, all nothing but love for Boston.
Yes. So next we had a film segment with Oscar host auditions.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the Star Wars auditions. They had the Back to the Future audition.
They like these types of sketches because it's a nice excuse for everybody to break out their impressions that might not fit into the show in any other way. And this was topical because this week we had Mr. Kevin Hart announces the Oscar host.
Yeah.
Then we uncover some old tweets from 2011 where he says some things that...
Not great.
Not great. Not great.
And then he takes himself out the running. So
he takes himself out. They were like, you should apologize for those tweets. And he says, no, I'm not going to apologize for those tweets. But I'm quitting, and I apologize for those tweets.
Yeah,
it was very strange.
Grand opening, grand closing.
It was like, well, couldn't have you done that, and then maybe kept the job? But
I maybe just wanted to apologize on his own terms. I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not going to pretend I understand it.
Yeah.
I like how they said it was a job with like all sorts of pitfalls and no possible upside.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Oscars, like hosting awards. Like everybody says, like there's no mm-hmm. glory in it. Like no one likes no matter who does it, people will like criticize it, and there's no real like. It mm-hmm. seems like it's a thankless job.
I think it is. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, some people do it well. Like, people still love
it. It's a tough job to do well.
Like, when Amy Poehler and Tina Fey did the Golden Globes.
They did a great job.
They were very funny.
I like Ricky Gervais on the Golden Globes.
Yeah, yeah. He was definitely polarizing, but yeah.
Yeah, but he was very funny.
And
Neil Patrick Harris, you can't go wrong with him hosting an award show.
Neely Pat.
Yeah. Is that what we call him now?
Yes.
Neely Pat?
Neely Pat Hare.
I thought it was just NPH.
Oh. Yeah, you could... His friends call him Neely Pat.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
You know, we're tight like
Darren
that.
Patterson, very close with Mr. Neil Patrick Harris.
That's right.
You heard it here first.
Heard it first.
So
impressions. Had some good ones. Cecily Strong's Mrs. Maisel was pretty strong.
Yeah. It was really good. I mean, this was the thing. Like, you always sort of get an insight into, like, what the cast members are into. And it's like, oh, well, Cecily Strong obviously watches that show.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you would be that on the nose
unless you really
with that impression unless you've watched that show and you've really kind of studied her.
Yeah, that's true. And but yeah, the way she like stuttered and like mm-hmm, that was like, oh, mm-hmm. That's very amazing.
It was dead on. We had Ego Nwadum as Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah, that was good. Who else? Melissa Villaseñor did a great with Sarah Silverman.
Yeah,
Sarah that Silverman
was dead on.
That was spot. Like, why isn't that impression more in the show?
It was, yeah. It like, was. She sounded. If I'd heard just like an audio tape of that, I would think I was just listening to Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, it really is. Like, she's been on the show. Like, Melissa's been on the show for a while. Like, why is this the first time she's ever doing that impression?
I know. Yeah, she's like, been on for what, like 2 years now.
Yeah,
something
like
that.
She should have busted that out. Like, she should have been on like with that impression like first season.
It must have been in her audition.
I guess.
We had Kate McKinnon playing Michelle Wolf.
Oh, that was Kate.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure, but all right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
That's what
I'm not questioning you. I was just like, I couldn't make it out.
Never question me again. We had A.D. Bryant as
Hannah Gadsby.
Yeah, Hannah Gadsby from
Nanette.
That's pretty
good. Yeah, very good.
Let's see. We mentioned Cecily. We had
Matt Damon did a Matthew McConaughey impression.
Yes. We had Heidi Gardner breaking out the Allison Janney again.
Yeah, that was a pretty good.
Which, again, so good.
Heidi Gardner, she's getting up there. She's the one to watch.
The Allison Janney impression and the Sarah Silverman impression and also the Mrs. Maisel impression.
Yeah.
Those just blew me away.
Yeah, the women on the show are like...
Just talented damn women on the show
just
now.
Just knocking it out the park.
And we had Keenan playing Terry Crews.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
He plays Terry Crews. I was like, Terry Crews should host SNL.
He really... I'm surprised he hasn't.
I want to see that.
I'm really surprised he hasn't.
And Brooklyn Nine-Nine's coming to NBC. It's
yeah. Synergy.
Let's get Terry Crews hosting SNL. I want to see that happen. We need another funny, muscle-bound guy.
Yeah, we need another handsome, muscle-bound man to take over comedy.
Yes.
Yes. Momoa wasn't enough. We need Terry Crews now.
We
and,
need
and The Rock.
And The Rock and
John
Hemsworth
Cena's.
And John Cena. Yes.
David Bautista, just get all the handsome, muscly men.
Let's just get them all together in a group and
just get all the jocks to take over.
And then they can just all wrestle at the end or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Give Kyle Mooney a noogies.
Yes.
And whatnot. You know,
I would watch that.
Wet Willie Moffat.
Yes.
Yeah, let's watch. Let's do that.
Let's
make
just
it happen.
Have them bully all the guys.
Bully all the cast members, stuff them in lockers. Wet swirlies.
What? I mean, come on. How can you not like Terry Crews, people?
Yeah, I'm actually surprised he's never hosted a thing.
He's a delight.
He's actually.
Let's start a campaign.
Hashtag it.
That's right. Cruise for SNL.
Cruise for SNL. Cruise, yeah. Make sure you do the right cruise. Don't do Tom Cruise. Or maybe even Tom Cruise. He's never hosted, right?
Not that I know of.
Interesting. All right. Terry Crews, Tom Cruise, Penelope Cruise, any Cruise.
Yeah, okay.
Cameron Cruise. No, it's Diaz. I'm sorry.
Cameron Crowe? Were you thinking Cameron Crowe?
I was thinking Cameron Crowe.
Okay.
I thought Cameron Diaz, for some reason, her last name was Cruz. I was like, oh, no, it's Diaz. Why is it say
no,
Cameron Crowe?
Yeah.
All right. But anywho, yeah. Terry Crews for SNL host. Hashtag.
Exactly. People. Exactly.
Get it out there. And yeah, but anyway, amazing impressions.
Yes.
SNL Oscars segment.
Yeah.
Oh, and Kate McKinnon had a great Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah. I mean, but we knew this.
Yeah. That's true. That
we knew this.
That was nothing new.
Yeah. She was like, I'm Ellen.
Yeah.
I've never done anything controversial outside of being gay. And
which the guy who was going to host wasn't cool with or something like that.
Hey, have you seen the previews for like that new Ellen DeGeneres game show? Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like a video game. Like Ellen DeGeneres has a video game?
No, no. She's got like a show on NBC where they're doing stunt games.
Yeah.
And she's like dunking people into things.
It's like Double Dare for grown-ups.
Yeah.
I have seen it. It came on last year and it did pretty well. It looks interesting. But.
I just think it's interesting that NBC now they have between that and the Hollywood Game Night that is hosted by I'm blanking on her.
Oh, Jane Lynch.
NBC now has like two shows that are game shows hosted by blonde lesbian actresses.
That's
an unusual specialization.
It's an amazing world we live in. because something like that would have not flown like 20 years ago, and now it's just
It's a genre.
Yeah. I'm here for it. I'm all for this.
I just is there another like blonde lesbian woman they can have hosting a third
I don't,
show? I want to see how far they can take this.
Hannah Gadsby can dye her hair, I guess.
Okay,
I don't know.
Okay,
well, but I guess those are the only two ones I could think of.
Okay,
or maybe I'm sure there's more, but
yeah,
off the top of my head, those are the only two I can think
okay.
of.
Okay,
but yeah, but either way, we are here for it. God bless you.
Yes. So let's see. Next, we had Christmas at the Carnegie Lounge.
Yes.
With Cecily Strong and Matt Damon playing Diane Gellerman and Sonny, her piano player. She's a singer and he's a piano player. And they're basically singing Jingle Bells.
Right. I looked on the Twitter and like I think that somebody mentioned that they like the way she sang it was like the way that Barbara Streisand sang it. Like. So I was like, they were doing a riff on that, like Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle.
Oh,
like okay. I don't know. I'm not a big Barbara Streisand fan.
Totally over my head.
Yeah, but like, I think if you maybe look at video of Barbara Streisand singing that song, it's like, oh, she was copying her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's a little insight.
Okay,
but I mean, I dug this sketch. I saw shades of. It definitely reminded me of like kind of Nick the Lounge Singer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Sweeney Sisters type of vibe about
or
it.
the parents that
Marty and Bobby Culp.
Did you look that up?
I didn't know it off the top of my head. I had to look that up.
It was Will Ferrell and
Anna Gasteyer.
Anna Gasteyer.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a sketch basically based around them singing
this
song. But also it's like, oh, it's actually a pretty good song.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, they had a lot of energy to it.
You didn't like it?
No, I didn't. I didn't dislike it. I was just I don't know
Strong.
If I entirely got it.
I think
so.
No, I mean they were kind of spoofing like the lounge singery type of vibe where there's banter between her and her piano player. Her piano player says something kind of catty and witty.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like bring it home, Sonny. It's like, oh, you know me, I'll bring anything home.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so bad.
Yeah,
like stuff like that type of thing. It seems like you're not.
No, I mean it was.
You're not on board with this.
It was cute. I just didn't totally. Maybe I was expecting more or something else. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
All right, guys. Not for everybody.
Yeah. I don't even know if I want to go as far as to say it felt like there was something missing, but I feel like it was more a feeling on my part.
Okay. I mean, well, do you feel the same way about the others? Those sketches I mentioned before, like the Marty and Bobby Culp and Sweeney Sisters, Nick DeLance? Because they're all
the
sketches.
The Culps I got a little tired of, as I recall. I always loved the Sweeney Sisters. You know, Bill Murray is Nick DeLance singer. That's gold. You can't go wrong with that.
It's gold, Jerry. Gold!
Yeah. I mean, this one, just didn't entirely work for me, but it was fine.
Okay. So. All right. I get it. I hear you, but yeah. I liked it. But
okay,
I hear you. All right.
Okay. Next we have the SNL For Real musical guest. We had Mark Ronson and Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, she sang her first song off her new album there.
Okay.
That's all I know.
Yeah, that was. I mean,
it was good.
Miley Cyrus. I'm not nuts about the Miley Cyrus.
She's a fine singer, and I mean, it seems like more people were. more focused on her outfit than anything.
It was a testament to the power of double sided tape.
Indeed,
she was wearing like the silvery outfit.
Yes,
it was. Like, she was wearing a jacket with no top underneath it.
Right.
So you're seeing it. Like, okay, this is the thing I started contemplating during the song.
Oh boy.
Like, okay, the jacket is in place, and you know you're watching because you're kind of waiting or half expecting some sort of wardrobe malfunction.
Right,
thing.
Right.
And then I just started wondering about the logistics of it. I was like, okay, is it still side boob when you're seeing like the middle area, the
inner boob?
Is there a term for that? I mean,
I don't know.
You know, side boob. It's more for the outer
right.
thing.
It's more the outline.
And then I started wondering, like, you know, does the network have to approve this outfit beforehand?
I'm pretty sure they do.
I think they would have to, because they don't want some accidental
nudity
and FCC fines.
Yeah,
on the show.
I would assume she ran that through like some people.
Somebody
like,
has to approve that.
So, you know, standards, practices, and whatnot.
Yeah.
You can't just go there with no shirt and just think everything's going to be hunky-dory.
Yeah.
You got to run up by some folks.
That was weird. So that was, you know, that was the main thing I noticed, and I think probably that most people noticed.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's a nice song. She sang it okay, and yeah, not bad.
Yeah, and her second song, she did John Lennon's Merry Christmas, War is Over.
Yes, with Sean Lennon on stage.
Was that Sean Lennon?
You didn't notice that?
Well, I noticed him, but I didn't realize it was Sean Lennon.
Yeah, Sean Lennon. Well, he was.
Oh, holy crap!
There we go. Wow.
I am so stupid.
Oh, boy.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he was right there playing guitar next to her.
Yeah, I know, but he's got the long hair and he's got the beard and he had the.
It's still Sean Lennon.
And that's been his look for a while, but I didn't put two and two together. Holy crap.
Go back home and look at it. Sean Lennon on stage with Miley Cyrus singing Merry Christmas. War. Oh, boy. You need a minute?
I may need a minute. Wow.
Yeah.
I just thought that was some dude in her band.
No, it's Sean Lennon. Holy hell. All right.
Wow, I'm dumb.
Wow. All right, well, there you go. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
War is over.
If you want it.
Zingaroo.
Honestly, like, I have trouble looking at Miley Cyrus without thinking of Vanessa Bayer's impression of her.
I could see that.
Because
part of me kind of wish Vanessa Bayer came on the show to do that impression.
As a little cameo. Yeah.
Like, oh my God. I really liked her impression. I kind of wish she'd come on, but she didn't.
And she got, like, Miley's smile down, because she has, like, a very toothy smile.
Yes, very much so.
And Vanessa Bayer, I don't know if, like, she was able to just duplicate the smile, or if she just has enough facial resemblance to Miley Cyrus that she was able to do that.
But, yeah. No, her impression was pretty spot on. Like,
I'm still reeling from the shot.
Yeah, this is. We might need a minute. We may have to pause.
I feel so damn stupid.
I thought you would have seen. For sure, would have seen that.
Wow.
All right.
I mean, because he's
what? What?
I just didn't recognize him with the beard and the long hair, and I there weren't enough facial features for me to.
I mean, I kind of
grab onto.
All right, I do understand. I kind of get that because he did have long hair and the beard.
Yeah,
like when the when the cameraman focused on him, like that should have been it, because like the cameraman doesn't focus on every individual band member unless the band member is like somebody prominent.
I just didn't notice him getting close-ups or something. I don't know.
Yeah, the band, like there was I forget who was playing, but there was like one time where a band was on, and maybe it was when Tenacious D hosted, and they had like David Grohl on the drums.
Right.
And the cameraman was focusing on the drummer. And I'm like, oh, they never focus on a drummer unless it's somebody of note.
Right.
So when the cameraman focused on the guitar player, I was like, oh, that must be somebody. And then I looked closer, I was like, oh, that's Sean Lennon.
Okay.
There you go. So, there you go, guys. That's.
There you go.
Wow. This podcast took a turn.
This did, because I mean I had no idea and literally found out on air and I look stupid to everybody.
You're fine.
I think you're a fucking idiot.
No, I think a few people didn't know. I think because like they didn't mention it and no one mentioned it. It's like one of those things like you wouldn't know unless they
say thank you to Sean Lennon at the end?
Oh wait, yeah, at the very end though,
at the goodnights,
like when no. I think at the night, but at the end of the performance, she said, "Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody!" And then at the very end, she's like, "Oh, Sean, oh no, Lennon."
Wow!
But when the title cards came up and they were going to commercial, you heard her say, "Thanks to Sean, oh no, Lennon."
Wow! Okay.
But it's one of those things that could have gotten past you. Don't fret. Don't fret.
I'm fretting. So next we had Weekend Update. With Colin Jost and Michael
Shay. Mr. Shay.
Yeah.
Wow. That was nice.
Yeah.
That was a good Weekend Update. You know, a lot of jokes, of course, about the president as every episode now.
I mean, I liked Jay saying, talking about one of Trump's tweets was, you know, Michael Cohen is a lawyer and he's supposed to know the law. And he says, you know who else is supposed to know the law? The president.
He should know the law.
We are paying you money for this.
If I was an astronaut and you would talk to me about the moon, I can't go like, the moon, what's that? Like, you should know the law.
Yeah.
You should know it.
Another line of his I really liked was, alleged affairs is a very dignified way to say raw dog and porn stars. Raw dog and porn stars. That's just a wonderful turn of phrase, isn't it?
You don't hear it enough.
Nope.
In polite conversation, I feel.
But, you know, we're going to hear more of it.
Oh, we are.
Because.
2019.
Yeah.
Ooh. So it was some great sketches. They had the Where's West sketch where
I thought that was lame.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's like a lot of build up, and then he just says, "Oh, here, aloha," or as they say here in Hawaii, or
yeah,
he just gives it away immediately.
They had a long build up. It was kind of like the old "Where in the World is Matt Lauer" thing they used to do on the Today Show.
Yeah,
which they probably don't do on the Today Show anymore.
I don't think.
I'm guessing.
I think he's been scrubbed from everything. The entire NBC history.
Could be.
And then Heidi Gardner had a great character. I think they gave her a character name, Angel.
Returning as the boxer's, every boxer's girlfriend in every boxing movie.
Yeah, because I think before they didn't give her a name, but now they say, oh, her name is Angel.
And that was interesting. And Matt Damon came on as her boyfriend, Tommy Ray Donovan, the boxer. Right.
Taking the kids to my sisters. I don't know. I like this character quite a bit.
I'm not nuts about the character. I did like the bit towards the end where he goes, "You're pregnant, Angel," and Michael Che just goes, "Why did he have to tell you? How did he know before you?"
It's fun. I don't know. I think I like it. I think Heidi Gardner's got she's on the rise.
It was good.
But yeah, that part was funny too. It's like, oh, I'm pregnant. All right.
Yeah.
And then they ended with them reading jokes that each other wrote.
Yes.
The other one wrote on the air.
Yes, which I really like that. They gave each other jokes to read on the air that neither one had ever seen before.
Right.
So it was basically Joss and Jay trying to get each other.
Right.
And
of course, all of Joss' jokes. Well, all of Colin's jokes were like wildly racist,
which was wonderful. let's see. We had there apparently in some place they had a nativity scene where baby Jesus was in a cage where he belongs.
And then has cut to Michael Che being like, "Oh my God, why would you say that?"
And then there was a story about apparently Nigeria's president denied that he was replaced by a lookalike, and the punchline was, "See, even Africans can't tell black people apart."
And the audience was like, "Oh my God!"
And this was my favorite. This is the last one. I have to tell it.
All right, yeah, go for it.
I mean, because
hit it.
We got to have the white guy tell it. It's National Rosa Parks Day, or as we call it in my house, Uppity Bus Passenger Day.
Oh my God! Why would you say that? Gasp!
And I loved it. It was
a very genuine moment.
It was a genuine moment. It was nice because you could really sense the friendship between these guys, how they enjoy busting each other's chops. I also thought it was a record like how much stronger most of Jay's material is than Joe's.
Yeah, very much. I mean, Colin's jokes. I can't say Joe's jokes. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Colin's jokes were like they were good, but like Jay's jokes were just like. Just powerhouse, just
boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Just walloped him,
and yeah, that was great, really strong ending, and it was a fun bit to end out the segment.
Absolutely.
Next,
All right, this one I'm going to have a lot of to say.
We have feelings about this sketch.
The Weezer sketch.
It was a dinner party.
Yes.
Where they're listening to the... It's three couples. They're getting together to... Leslie Jones and Kenan Thompson, they're a couple that's new to the neighborhood, and they're being welcomed by the other two couples. We had Matt Damon and Cecily Strong as a couple, and then who are the others?
Beck and Heidi?
Beck and Heidi. I know Heidi was the woman. I forget who the dude was. But it doesn't matter.
Wow. Beck and Bennett, it doesn't matter.
That's right. That's his last show.
oh, shit. oh, boy.
Say what now? And so they're piping in some music, and then...
it's a Weezer's cover of Africa.
Which was a recent thing. It was a viral thing.
It's like their biggest hit in a while.
Well, there was this one guy who was apparently leading a campaign on Twitter to have Weezer cover the song Africa by Toto.
Yeah.
And Weezer didn't do it. And then they recorded another Toto song.
They recorded Rosanna. And then they released
Epic Trolling.
Yeah. And then they recorded Africa, and now it's like a huge hit.
It became a thing.
Yeah, I wonder if that
did it actually like chart?
It did. Yeah, very much so. It's everywhere. It's on like mainstream radio. It's like top 100. It's a hit.
Oh, okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, it makes me wonder like if that guy got any money or anything for it.
Probably. I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. I mean, he was probably just happy that Weezer covered Africa.
That's right.
But this,
my reward is a job well done.
This starts a huge debate about Weezer, which is a debate that has happened, I think, any time like two Weezer fans have gotten together in the same room.
Very much. Oh, let me ask you this: where do you stand on Weezer? Are you a Weezer fan or a casual fan? Let's get into this.
Well, I would say I can safely be qualified as a Weezer fan. Okay. I have. Here we go. My phone. We got a lot of things.
Okay.
On the phone. And you, I got every.
You
I
bought
got,
Hurley?
I bought Hurley. Hurley was like the last one that I got. So
Ratatouille?
I kind of dropped off the Weezer train.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. I've
just blown Darren's mind here.
It's like so, I found out Sean Lennon was on stage.
I am a Weezer fan. I haven't kept up with the last couple albums. I may have to get back on the Weezer train.
Okay. All right. We can get
into
this.
So where do you stand on the Weezer?
I am a Weezer fan as well, a devotee. Basically what happened is in the sketch, Matt Damon was saying how, oh, their new stuff is good. They have the Black album coming out, which they actually do.
Right.
And then Leslie Jones comes back with saying, oh, you said you're a fan, but everybody knows they haven't made a good album since Pinkerton.
Right.
Which I agree with her. Like, there was going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Like, the person who wrote this sketch wrote it specifically for Weezer fans.
Yes.
Like, if
because there was all sorts of deep cut references,
very deep
and accurate.
Yes,
it was all accurate. They did not make up anything for this sketch.
Like when Leslie Jones said, "Weezer died when Matt Sharp left the band." Like I felt that. I really like because I feel that, I have said that on numerous occasions
and,
to people.
And Matt Damon at one point he says, "I'm just gonna say it. Pork and Beans is better than Buddy Holly."
And I know that's a joke, but I at that moment I wanted to almost drive to Rockefeller Center and choke him out because like that is. Pork and Beans is a terrible song. It's just not.
See, I like Pork and Beans. I'm not going to say it's better than Buddy Holly.
All right,
but I think it's a good song.
I'll listen to it again. But I remember listening. I remember listening to it and just not. It just seemed. Maybe just because their writing style, it just seems too simplistic from what they were doing. Like the first two albums were. I liked the writing. It seemed more heartfelt, and then kind of around, I guess, the Make Believe album, their stuff kind of get more simple, and it just, I don't know, there's something about it changed, definitely, but I don't, that's
I think, like, for most of their albums, and like I said, I haven't really heard much of the last two albums. I haven't even listened to Hurley that much, honestly.
Hurley.
Okay. Yeah. But I felt like, up until then, like, they had at least a couple really solid songs on each album that they did, which I think is a good, pretty good batting average for a band.
That's true. But I mean, I guess it's one of those things where when you come out of the gate with like two strong album, and also, I mean, when Pinkerton came out, it wasn't really well received when it first
came out. It was not.
Yeah.
It was not. And that's something that it's an album that people love in retrospect.
Right. It's like I always it's kind of like the way the Beastie Boys second album Paul's Boutique
mm-hmm.
like when that came out it wasn't really people weren't digging it but people, you know, it took a couple of years for people to catch up to it. Because mm-hmm. I guess people wanted like another License to Ill, where they just talk about drinking and
right,
partying,
right?
And
yeah,
and then Paul's Boutique it was a little bit more introspective and a little bit more complicated and grown up and mature, and people weren't digging it. Mm-hmm. But like now, people like it,
right?
And like the same thing with Pinkerton, where people weren't digging it because it didn't have the same catchy hooks that the Blue Album did. But
yeah,
now
it wasn't
people
as,
like
it wasn't as poppy, and it was more introspective. And yeah,
right.
But now people like look back at it and they're like, "Oh, that was a masterpiece."
And
you fucking hated it in 1996.
Exactly. And I think from what I've read, that really kind of did a number on Rivers because like he was like
he went away for a few years,
yeah.
and he went to Harvard, and he did. Rivers Cuomo, lead singer of Weezer, if you do not know, because, yeah.
why would you?
Because, you know.
It's like, it definitely, it messed with him, his mind, mm-hmm, and, like, mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever been the same since. Like, I mean, the Green Album, I liked it. I mean, I know some people have mixed feelings about, like, Hash Pipe and Island in the Sun. I like those songs.
I like those both.
I've heard people say, like, Island in the Sun's, it's not good. But I like it. I like it. And, but yeah, definitely, like, the album after, well, no, Maladroit was okay. I like Dope Nose.
That's a great song. I listened to it this morning.
Yeah, yeah. And then after that, it was the Make Believe album. And the Make Believe album, I think that's when I was like,
that's when you got off the Weezer train.
That's when I started to see, like, I don't know about this, because I'll listen to the album again, but I remember just not being very impressed with it, and just like I don't know. It just seemed very simplistic, and it didn't seem to have the same heart as before.
Well, let's see. Make Believe has Beverly Hills, Perfect Situation, This Is Such a Pity, and We Are All on Drugs. I like all those songs. Those are my favorites from the album.
Right. I will listen to it again, but I remember listening to the album and be like, I don't know about this.
I like some stuff on the Red Album. Troublemaker is one of my favorite Weezer songs.
Wow.
Legit. I think
controversial.
Is a great song. Ratitude, I love the song. If you're wondering if I want you to, I want you to.
That's a catchy song.
I think that's a great song.
Why don't you grow up and listen to Ratitude? That was Matt Damon's line. I may have to throw that into my lexicon.
There were some great lines. There was, let me.
Why don't you grow up and listen to Ratitude?
And I liked it. At one point, Leslie Jensen just goes, "Oh, you're dumb." She just like flat out said, "Oh, I get it. You're dumb.
Oh, you're just stupid."
Honestly, though, I refuse to believe that Leslie Jones in real life has this many opinions about Weezer.
I mean, I mean, she might be a Weezer fan. Like, it's possible.
Really?
It's possible, but like
a black woman in her late 40s.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I like listening to Sinatra.
Okay.
Not a lot of Sinatra, but you know that one song.
I don't know. She just does not strike me as the type to be a Weezer fan.
She might.
I wonder.
She might be. I don't want to.
And she played it beautifully.
She's.
Leslie Jones, I'm mixed on Leslie Jones at best, but she's really good at playing anger.
Yeah.
And she was great in this sketch.
I mean, she was very much so.
Like, you know, she was supposed to get in Matt Damon's face, and she got in Matt Damon's face.
Yeah. Her passion and the way she was saying, like, oh, they haven't made a good album since Matt Sharp. Like, I felt that.
Yeah,
Leslie, get him.
You, like, posted about it on Facebook this morning.
It really...
You, like, shared the sketch, and you were like, I am... You were like, this isn't in my wheelhouse.
This is my wheelhouse. Because because as far as Weezer fans go, there are tons of people who believe once Matt Sharp left, the band was never the same.
I'm
in agreement with that. Like, I feel like they have good singles, like after the Pinkerton album here and there, but as far as the full album is concerned, like they haven't had a full album that's really great. But I will admit, like there are some good songs on their most recent stuff. Like have you listened to the White Album yet?
No.
That has some good stuff on it. There's Do You Wanna Get High is a good song.
Okay.
There's a song King of the World.
Uh-huh.
It's a good song. And then there's the other one, Thank God for Girls, I believe.
I know that song.
Yeah.
I know that
song. The White Album's a solid album. But then after that, was Pacific Daydream.
The color albums are generally well regarded.
Yeah, yeah. That's
why
I'm cautiously optimistic about the Black Album that comes out next year, but we'll see.
We'll see.
But the White Album that came out like was the second to last album was actually pretty decent.
I actually brought something because this sketch, it reminded me of a passage or an essay in one of Chuck Klosterman's books.
Ooh,
are you getting
literary?
I'm getting literary. I brought along a little thing. Chuck Klosterman, if you don't know him, he's an author. He writes about pop culture a lot. And he has in his book Eating the Dinosaur. He has a thing about Weezer and the way they are perceived. And I thought I'd read a little about it. It's
really
short. And he says, people are generally disappointed by Weezer albums. It's become the band's defining ethos. They consistently disappoint the people who love them most. It's an insular version of disappointment that makes no immediate sense. Weezer distresses the exact same people with every record they release. This should be impossible. If every new record a certain band makes disappoints its base, one would assume chagrined consumers would eventually give up. But people have a different kind of relationship with Weezer, and it's due to the songwriting of frontman Rivers Cuomo. He writes completely straightforward lyrics presented through music devoid of irony. He exclusively presents literal depictions of how he views the world and how he almost exclusively plays guitar riffs that he personally want to hear as a fan. There are no other major elements in his work. The tone of his guitar is an attempt to replicate the tone of guitarists he appreciated as a teenager, particularly Ace Frehley and Carlos Cavazo. He enjoys metaphors, but the metaphors are hyper-obvious stand-ins for his own confessionals. He tosses around stilted hip-hop language and makes it seem like he's mocking all the affluent white kids obsessed with superficial blackness, but he used to be one of those kids. His lyrical fantasies, such as living life as a professional surfer, are faithful expository descriptions of what he fantasizes about. In 1994, he wrote an unreleased rock opera called Songs from the Black Hole that involves six separate characters, one of whom was a robot. But he later admitted the entire narrative was really about his own experiences on tour. Artistically and motivationally, Weezer makes completely unaffected music, more authentic than Black Flag or Bright Eyes or Janis Ian. But because every other aspect of Cuomo's public life seems constructed and self-aware, and because he displays all the usual qualities we've come to associate with kitchen irony, audiences are unwilling to view Weezer's music as a reflection of Cuomo's autobiography. So he goes on a bit, but it's basically making the point that Rivers is completely sincere in his stuff, but because his audience identified so strongly with those first few albums,
right,
and they were, it was like a lot of earnest white dudes, and it spoke to them,
right.
And they were expecting the subsequent albums to speak to them as much, but by the time that Weezer made those other albums, he was like a full-fledged rock star, and so he was not having experiences that the audience could identify with anymore.
And all right, that's so, fair enough.
It's very interesting. Eating the Dinosaur. Ordered.
Wow. Well,
you know,
order it, guys.
Go to Amazon. It makes a great gift.
Just in time for the holidays.
That's right.
No, that makes sense. Like, definitely with those first two albums, like me and like a bunch of other nerds, they had like a very strong, like, you know, emotional connection to it.
Yeah, and we identified with it.
Yeah, very much so. And like the fact that he went from that to like, you know, Can't Stop Partying with Lil Wayne.
Right.
It's like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Is this you now or?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this who you always were?
It didn't speak to his audience anymore.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, but at the same time, I think I know, I have also noticed that, like, he seems to always, like, it seems like Weezer's just constantly making music for teenagers, even though they're getting older.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they're like, in their 40s now.
Yeah. And, like, they're not making music for 40-year-olds. They're making music for teenagers and people in their 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
just like
mm-hmm.
when they first did. And it's, so, like, they're trying to get, like, a new audience. And like their old audience just isn't connecting with it, and I don't know. I have a very complicated relationship with Weezer, but
we'll delve into this further on our Talking About Weezer podcast.
Yes. Weezer
coming to the non-pro network soon.
Yeah, Weezer talk.
Weezer talk.
Wow, yeah, we delved into that one.
We did.
You busted out a book. Holy hell.
We went in depth.
Holy moly.
But you know what? I think this sketch, it spoke to the audience too, because it got like a big applause break at the end. Like, so much so that it seemed to, like, be cutting off Leslie Jones's last line. She was saying something, and I don't know if it was important to the sketch or not.
No, well, I think at the very end, like, the guy leaves, and it's like, you know where you can find me? In Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
But then she said, like, oh, yeah, actually, like, kind of like that.
Yeah, I also like at the end where we realize that Matt Damon was the ex-husband of Heidi Gardner's
character. Oh, yeah. That was, like, that was weird.
If you want me back, and she's like, no, no, I don't.
That was a weird throwaway.
I like that. Just I like it when they toss in like just weird bits of information like that.
Very much so. As far as the sketch, I thought it was like a sketch like specifically for like only a few people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it seems like most of the audience got it. We're on board with it.
But I thought this is a tough word to say.
Specificity. Specificity?
Thank you. The specifics of it made it really work. I mean, having in all those specific details, it really made the work, the sketch work, and it was stronger because of that.
I think so. I think, like, most people know, if you don't know Weezer, you know maybe, like, another band or an artist who, like, people who are very split on, like Kanye West or something.
And
like
I loved how their obsessiveness was playing against the other characters, like, wait, is Weezer even still together? Are we really having this conversation?
Yeah.
Like, everybody was, like, indifferent at best to Weezer.
It's like, I don't want to go off on a rant. It's like, well, then please don't.
So it made the passion of Matt Damon and Leslie Jones's characters all the funnier because everyone else was just like, huh, what? They haven't thought about Weezer in 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, so. I mean, which I imagine is how the rest of the world is, and it's just like, you know, all these Weezer fans.
Yeah, when they're not like, you know, obsessed.
Yes.
Obsessed repressed nerds.
Yes. On a podcast talking about Saturday Night Live.
And Weezer.
Gotcha. All right, so next thing we did. The Frankie's Ale House sketch. It was like it seemed like another Kyle Mooney sketch.
It was another weird one. It was
some Mooney.
A bunch of cops. They're getting beers and they're busting each other's chops. Alec Baldwin pops up.
Yeah,
it's odd to see him in a not Trump sketch these days. Because
I was like, Bald, what are you doing here?
And I guess they just needed warm bodies to fill out. They didn't have enough guys. And we learned that Kenan Thompson's character was with or married to Kyle's little sister.
Right. Or they're just banging.
Yeah, and at one point they get him they chip in on noise canceling headphones for Kyle, so that he doesn't hear.
Yeah, it's weird. I understand what they were doing. They're trying to do that thing that they do in like a lot of TV shows and movie where they bust balls, but then they go, but no, seriously, man.
Thanks.
Like Merry Christmas. They bust balls, but then they kind of go into that sincere moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, I kind of got what they were doing, but I don't know if the sketch really worked.
Yeah, and then we find out towards the end, like, one of them accidentally shot his wife.
Yeah. at the wedding. That's funny.
I did like the line, any one of us could have shot his wife at the wedding. it was a weird sketch. Didn't quite work for me, but...
Yeah, bust the balls.
But, you know...
But seriously, man.
It ate up 2 or 3 minutes of time.
Yeah.
So.
It was, I mean, that 2 or 3 minutes could have gone to the last sketch, but...
Obviously.
It could. Whoa.
And then the last sketch of the night was Happy Christmas Britain with Kate McKinnon as Theresa May.
Right.
Who's the British Prime Minister.
Yeah, she's in the thick of it.
She's having a tough time right now because of all the Brexit stuff.
Rough go.
And we had Matt Damon, who came on as...
David Cameron.
David Cameron, the previous PM, the guy who got the Brexit thing going.
And then he just left.
And then he just left, and Matt Damon had a giant forehead. A
lot of forehead.
He had a five head.
Hey-o.
And we had A.D. Bryant coming in as Elton John for some reason.
You don't speak to me.
And Kate was, as Theresa May, was opening up her presents from people, and all her presents were feces.
That's right. And then one was a book, and it's like, oh, no, it's been hollowed out. It was filled with feces.
Yes. And then at the very end, Mikey Day comes in as Lord Voldemort.
Right, the only person who's hated more than Theresa
May.
Okay,
that was the rationale.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten.
You didn't know?
No, I'd forgotten. Because it was
first
such...
saw none, now this? You don't...
It was such an odd sketch. It was just like...
Because at the end, because like, oh, the only person who reviled more than me, Lord Voldemort.
Right.
And then he came out, and then he was like... it's like, oh, can we kind of separate... I don't want your PR near me, really.
Right.
But like, it was weird because like, as he was talking, it seemed like they just ended the sketch.
It was another abrupt ending. Yeah.
Like super, like mid sentence, they were like, "All right, we're done," and it was just like, "What?"
Yeah.
Like mid sentence, they just cut. They just kind of cut. They put on the music and they cut to the title screen. Like, oh, that's.
I guess you wonder if it was a time thing or what or.
Yeah, but I've never seen it end that like abruptly.
Yeah, I don't know. My
it was jarring.
Cut off before this sketch, so I didn't get to rewatch it before the show. So it just I'd have to look at it again. I wonder if like the version they put up online is like the dress rehearsal version. If there's going to be like a couple minutes we didn't see or something.
Maybe, I don't know. It was really like I was writing down. Oh, Lord Voldemort, mm-hmm. Mikey Day. Like they were putting on the music and cutting off the screen. I was like, wait, what? It's over?
Yeah,
it was like really.
He was on very very briefly.
Yeah, it threw me. It threw me. That and the Weezer sketch threw me.
Yeah. We were still reeling. We were still absorbing the Weezer sketch at this point.
We're still reeling from the Sean Lennon.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the show. That was Matt Damon and Mark Ronson and Miley Cyrus and other people with M's in their names.
And the rest.
And Kate McKinnon.
And
Kyle Mooney. Mikey Day. Alex Moffat. It was just an
Mike Myers.
M from the James Bond movies. He was there.
Michael Moore. Mr. Miyagi.
Mickey Mouse.
Marty McFly.
Marty McFly from Back to the Future.
Yes, he was.
Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Star-studded. My God.
Yeah, it was.
But this was a good episode. I actually liked this episode quite a bit.
It was a good episode. I think for us, Weezer has to be sketch of the night.
Yeah, I mean, it just... It's
I thought it was a good solid comedy sketch, and it also spoke to us because of the Weezer thing.
Yes, very much so.
And
it hit me in a way I'm still reeling.
We have thoughts. We talked about it. We've talked about it a little on Facebook.
I need to lie down.
Darren said like I could do like 5 podcast episodes. Just
I
about
really
this
could.
Sketch. our friend Natty Bumpercar. Hi Natty. He said
Natty.
I could talk about this, and I was like, well, call in Natty, and Natty's like, no, I have to go talk to Emmett Otter. That is literally the excuse he gave me.
I have to.
That
play
is
with-
literally the excuse he.
I got to play with puppets.
I got to play with puppets.
But maybe we'll have him on a future episode.
Maybe we will if he doesn't have some more important puppet-related activity.
But maybe. Well, we've been thinking about having guests on. That Weezer sketch just messed up my brain. We've been thinking about having guests on future episodes. So maybe we'll have Natty or other people on, people involved with SNL.
We've got some things in the air. We got things cooking. We're working on this behind the scenes.
That's right.
So hopefully we can make that happen.
We got things brewing in the pots.
But I think we're going to wrap it up for now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're going to be back next week. SNL is not back with a new episode. I don't think they've even announced who the next host and musical guest are yet, have they?
I think the next one, it's going to be a rerun. It's the Seth Meyers, Paul Simon.
Yeah, but I'm at the next new episode.
No, they haven't said anything yet.
So
who knows?
Who knows? We're in suspense. I mean, maybe like since this was Beck Bennett's last show, they're just like, there's no point in continuing it without Bennett.
That's it. Shut it down, people.
Maybe this is the last episode of SNL ever. You don't know.
We had a good run.
Yeah, and... But next week we are going to be talking about the SNL Christmas compilation and talking about all sorts of classic SNL Christmas sketches.
It's going to be Christmassy
from the previous year, so we're going to talk about that and get into that and go deep into that and maybe we'll talk about Weezer some more. I don't know.
They've made a couple of Christmas songs, haven't they?
Yeah, sure,
sure. Why not? Hey, sure. Why not?
Sure.
So where can the people find you?
Well,
on the internets.
On the internets, I'm on the Twitter at Trumbull Comic.
Ooh.
And you can at me with your Weezer opinions or your SNL opinions or anything
you want to talk about.
Any sort of opinions you have.
Yeah, the new Aquaman movie.
The
Superman.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
The Laurel and Hardy movie. The Dick Cheney movie.
Any stock tips you want to talk about or recipes?
Sure. Sure.
Pie recipes.
Where can they find you to at you with all this stuff?
If you want to find me, find me at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible, Instagram, Twitter, and my website, DarrenCredible.com.
So that's where we're going to be, and we will see you here next week.
Oh, we shall talk the website.
Oh, the website. We should talk about, we should plug this stuff.
The people that give us microphones and a chance to...
That's right, that's right. Darren, you had that information, I believe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
On Patreon?
If you want to follow us on Patreon, donate to our lovely Patreon page. You can go to patreon.com/nonpro. Give us some money. That would be nice.
And you can indicate that you are giving it for the SNL nerds.
Yes.
That is a thing you can select and say, I want them to have the money.
That's right. But, just them.
But any of the other fine shows on the non-productive...
Yes.
Uh, website or the right. Nonproductive Network.
Right. All at nonproductive.com, non-productive.com. Mm-hmm. If you want to give us some dough, you can go to non-productive.com/SNLNerds/support.
Yeah.
And give us that sweet, sweet cheddar.
And we also have a Facebook page, SNL Nerds,
yeah.
on Facebook.
Yeah.
We try to post things there, you know, to get some discussion going.
Right.
And check us out on the iTunes. Like, subscribe. Please review us.
Please.
We need some more reviews.
Jeez Louise.
We got some nice reviews.
Yeah.
Those were great. We need some more.
Yeah, come on.
So if you like the podcast, go there. Give us a rating. A 5-star one, if you yeah. would like, and then write a little thing, because that helps with the algorithms. That helps boost us up and build the audience and all that good stuff.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. You could do it on your phone. If you got time to do Candy Crush, you got time to do this.
That's right. If you were bored by that Weezer segment, you could have just done it during that while we yeah. were talking about Weezer.
Or if you want to hear us talk about more about Weezer, we will do that.
We need to know. We need this audience feedback.
We will turn this podcast into a Weezer podcast at the drop of a hat.
How much Weezer content do you really want in your SNL Nerds podcast? Let us know. Call in.
Yes.
Rate us.
Each episode, we will talk about one Weezer song.
That's right.
For a good 60 minutes.
That's right.
If that's what you want.
Because we don't know the current musical guests. We don't follow them. We don't follow the current music. So we're just going to talk about Weezer during the musical guest segments.
I can talk about In Dreams for a good hour.
There we go. There we go.
Only In Dreams.
So, but we're going to take off for this week. And we will see you next week. We'll talk all about the Christmas special. And we'll have opinions about that.
Darn tootin'.
So we will see you then. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.
I hear the drums echoing tonight, but she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Franca Blowey. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.